Well, I appreciate your prayers this evening. I have a thought on my heart that's, I guess it's been something the Lord has been talking to me quite a bit about lately. And so some of it may sound like a repeat to you all, but I really pray the Lord will help me to get this across in a way that it's be pleasing unto Him and beneficial to all of us. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the chapter 11. Just one verse. Verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The Word of God says that it is impossible to please the Lord without faith. You know, I believe that every one of us that's here, in here tonight wants to please God. I really do. I really believe that every one of us in here has a desire to want to please the Lord. So how do we have faith? How do we do that? He says it is impossible for us to please Him without faith. And so I think it stands to reason that we might want to know what that is. To really understand what faith is. Let me ask you a question. Is faith a thought? Is faith a thought? Is our exercising of faith simply a thought in our minds, or a belief about something, or the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? It's substance, she said. You know, I think about this idea of faith and the importance of it, and how imperative it is that we have it. And, you know, there's people all across the world that would tell you that they believe in God, that they have faith. And I wonder if they really do. Let's look in James chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" So here he is, he's saying that you believe. And many people in our world today, like I just said, would tell you, they believe. And he's saying, well, that's a good start. It's a good start. But to me, I would say that belief is only a little step forward, and it's not quite at faith. Belief is not quite at faith. Belief to me is more in our minds. Belief to me is more something that happens in our heads, where we get ideas about things and truths. But faith goes much deeper than that. Faith goes way beyond what's in your head and in your thoughts. Faith goes all the way to the point of works. Yes. Or how you conduct yourself. Or how you live your life. Faith is going to be impacted by the way you live. Let's Let's go to 1 John 3 and 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So when we say that faith is not just a belief, it's not just saying I believe in God, but faith would be that we would love in deed and in truth. It's not just something where you say I love you. And I know that this was something that I struggled with quite a bit as a child or a young person. I got to a point in my life where I felt like people said they loved you and they really didn't. And at least the way I perceived it, they didn't. Why would I come up with that conclusion? Why would I come to that conclusion? Because to me, their actions showed something else. If you love me, this wouldn't be what you would be doing, right? And so faith is the same thing. If you believe me, or if you have faith in me, then it's going to show in the things that you do or the way you conduct your life. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. And so faith goes a little bit farther than just a thought in our minds. But it turns into an action in our lives. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What? Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know, when I think about the patriarchs in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and it talked about the things that they did, the way they lived their lives, and it says that Abraham had faith. How do we know he had faith? How do we say, yeah, Abraham had faith? Because he said he had faith? Because he said he believed in God? No. It was because of the way he lived. It was because of the things he did. They say Abraham had faith because he offered up his only begotten son to the Lord and was about to sacrifice him because God had said to do so. He had faith in God, and he got up and packed up everything he had and moved because God had told him, I'm going to give you a land. He just acted upon what God had said and had faith in God enough to do what he said. Moses had faith in God that he was willing to forsake the riches in Egypt and all the glory and everything that goes along with it because he knew something about God and about God's people that he wanted to be a part of that instead. Attributing the riches of God being more than the riches of Egypt. By faith. It wasn't just a belief or a thought in his mind. It was much deeper than that, where he was willing to put himself in jeopardy over it. You can go through that chapter one person after another where it's talking about these people who didn't just have good ideas about things or good intentions about things, but they turned their lives upside down because of the belief that they had in God. They did things that were contrary to what would seem natural to do because of their faith in God. You know, and one thing that I was thinking about too is that these people were Old Testament folks. Almost every one of them, I would say every one of them, but I don't want to be wrong and say that, but almost every one of them was Old Testament folks exercising faith and faith that glorified God, and it's attributing to them a salvation or a deliverance. I mean, by all rights, we can assume that these folks are in the kingdom of God because of their faith. The way he writes about them and how he speaks of their faith, and he says that without faith it's impossible to please him. Well, he's talking about how much faith they had. So I would say that they pleased God. Old Testament folks. And here we are in the New Testament where Jesus Christ has come. He's died and resurrected. We can have faith.
Yes.
They believed in something that was to come.
Yes.
And we're believing in something that has come.
Right.
And the testimonies that we've received of what Jesus did and how he paid the price. It's not of how he will pay the price, but how he did pay the price.
Yes.
We can have faith in God.
Right.
But it's not going to hold up for it to just be in our minds and in our thoughts.
Yes.
You know, I don't know where I heard the story, but somebody was telling a story one time, and he said that there was a man that was walking a tightrope across a great cavern, and he walked this tightrope, and all kinds of people were watching him, and they were cheering him on and how he went across that tightrope. And then he went back and he got him a bicycle, like a unicycle, and he's riding this unicycle on this tightrope, and everybody's like, "Oh yeah, this is so great, you're awesome, you know, do it again." He's like, "Do you all think that I can do this tightrope on this unicycle pushing a wheelbarrow?" "Oh yeah, I believe you can do it." And so he gets his wheelbarrow and he's pushing this wheelbarrow as he's walking the tightrope on this unicycle, and everybody's cheering him on, and he's like, "Do you all believe that I can do this tightrope on this unicycle pushing this wheelbarrow with somebody in it?" "Oh yeah, we all believe you can do it. We know you can do it." And he says, "Okay, who wants to volunteer?" Silence. You know, that is what faith is. You can believe it all day long. "Yeah, I believe you can do it. Yeah, I believe you can do it." But faith says, "Get in the wheelbarrow."
Yes.
You know, we can believe God. We can trust him with our lives. But unless we're willing to get into the wheelbarrow and let him live in and through us, we're not really having faith. It's really just a belief. Strong beliefs in God or strong beliefs in what he can do, but faith puts your life in his hands. How do we get there? How do we get to the point of just believing in God to where we're willing to put our lives into his hands? And I'm talking about in difficult things. You know, there's not a lot of difficulty in putting your faith in God because he's going to bring you to heaven. I mean, there's not a lot of difficulty in that. Everybody wants to go to heaven. The difficulty comes when we want to place our faith in God in difficult times or difficult circumstances and situations. I think of the Hebrew boys or men or whatever you want to call them that They were going to be put in the fiery furnace. But because of faith in God, they refused to bow down to the idol. They said, yes, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your idol. Their belief went well beyond just thoughts. You don't do that with just a thought. You don't do that with just a good idea. You do that because you know something. That you're fully persuaded about something. I believe in Hebrews it said that Abraham was fully persuaded that if it required it, that God could raise Isaac from the dead to fulfill his promise. I mean, it's like such a powerful semblance of what God really did. And I'm a firm believer that that chapter in Genesis 22 was God revealing what he was going to do. And he used Abraham's faith to do it. To reveal it to us. To give us a little glimpse of what he was going to do. And he has done that. He brought Jesus back from the dead. Raised him from the dead. So why should we count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations? When it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. How do we know that we have faith? I would say that we could have belief, but when it's tested, we'll find out if we have faith. You know, we can have belief in God, and I'm very careful and have been careful, and I pray the Lord help me to stay careful. But I had people that are always asking me, well, what will you do in this situation? Or what will you do in that situation? How are you going to do this? Or how are you going to do that? And I really felt like wisdom told me to keep my mouth shut about stuff like that. And I believe that God will give the grace in the time of need to meet whatever it is that we have to meet or whatever it is that we have to face. That God is going to give the grace sufficient for the need. And so I try not to go through all that, but the trying of our faith, would we have known that Abraham had faith if God hadn't asked him to do some difficult things? If God, or if him obeying God was not something that was maybe against the norm or against the grain or somehow difficult to do. I think it would be easy to attribute it to just belief or something, but when they are able to give their lives in such a way, it shows faith. And faith glorifies God. You ask me, how does it glorify God? Because what they do is honoring God's word and honoring his character and honoring him in the sense that I know you're good. I know you're faithful. I know you're true. I know you're going to do everything that you said you're going to do. I know that I'm in good hands no matter what anybody might do to me. I know that the eternity that you promised is a fact and is going to happen. And when you say that I'm going to dwell with you for eternity, that's a fact. It's not a question of I wonder or I hope. No, I know it. Because God has said it, and I believe Him. And that glorifies Him. Even to the point where when you're willing to say, you know what, it doesn't matter if I die today, at least I know that I'm in the hands of the living God who loves me and cares for me, and I'm going to be with Him forever.
Yes.
That is faith in God. Abraham saying, yes, I know the Lord has asked me to slay my son, but I know that He's a good God and that He has purpose for this, and I'm going to do what He says. Because I know that even if He has to raise my son from the dead, that He's going to fulfill the promise that He's promised me. And so I'm not worried. I'm not concerned about obeying the Lord and doing what He would have me to do. I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to gather my son up and we're going to go up to the mountain and we're going to do what God has asked us to do because He's shown Himself faithful until now and I'm sure He's going to show Himself faithful tomorrow. That glorifies God. It's no wonder that He's pleased with it. Because there's no doubt in it. When we have doubt, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say, you know, woe is you when the moments where you have doubt. You know, we look at these patriarchs and we looked at these men that faced major, major problems in their lives. And we can think that somehow it was easy. Because of the way we read it. Oh, well, Abraham did this. And, oh, well, David did that. And these boys, they did this. And it just sounds like it's so easy. Right? But I'm telling you, if you were standing there right next to them, you would realize and understand that it's not as easy as it looks or as easy as it sounds. And the people that you know today, what they're facing is not as easy as it looks or as easy as it sounds, but they got to have faith in God and He's going to be there with them. It's not easy. But it is well worth it to put our faith in God. The trying of your faith works patience. Patience is cheerful endurance. It's like awaiting for the blessing. Because you know you have faith in God and that there's got to be a blessing coming. The trying of our faith. You know, it's easy or it's reasonable for us to not really want the trying of our faith. To not really want God to, and it, I don't even want to say it like this, for God to test us because it's not really God testing us in that way. But it's a circumstance that allows us to choose God over and over again. You know, maybe you came to the altar and you gave your heart to the Lord and you chose Him. He chose you first, but you said, yes, Lord. And you presented your heart into His hands. You said, I'm gonna serve you, Lord. I'm going to live for you. Everything that I can see and imagine at this point in time in this altar, I'm with you and I'm following after you and I'm walking with you. And then when you get up from the altar, you know, maybe 2 years or 3 years down the road, you run into something that you never even thought about at that altar. And you have once again an opportunity to have faith in God. And trust in Him and allow His Spirit to work in you to help you to be rooted and grounded in Him. Strengthened by the trying of our faith. And when we walk through that and we're victorious in that, it builds us and matures us and strengthens us in our relationship with the Lord and how close we can be to Him. It's valuable. That we may, so it works patience in us. And then it says, but let patience have her perfect work. So this is what it also brings about in our lives. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Whole or sound in body, lacking nothing. You know, sometimes we may have to face that thing, and when we come through it, it's like the Lord makes us all the more whole from it. Because maybe he's burning something off or purifying us, like we already said, maturing us. And that is valuable. And no, maybe we wouldn't just raise our hand to it and say, yes, Lord, bring it. You know, in fact, I think that in the example prayer that he gave the disciples, it says, lead us not into temptation, you know, but deliver us from evil. But there is value in it, where God is able to enrich us by the things that we go through in life. What examples would people give about you? If you were in Hebrews chapter 11, would people be able to know that you had faith? And I'm going to rephrase that and say, will people be able to know whether I have faith? Will they say, I know Brother Marvin had faith. He trusted God, or he did this, and this is the way he lived his life. This is how he conducted himself. May the Lord help us to have that testimony of faith. It is very valuable. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know, I really believe that the trying of our faith shows that we love God. You say trying of our faith or trying of our allegiance or our trust in the Lord it shows. It shows our love for Him. Like we said earlier where He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what Abraham did. He loved the Lord and he did what he said. And if we love Jesus or we love God, then we're going to do what he says. Whatever he might say to us, however crazy it may sound or difficult it may sound, if we have faith in him and trust in him, we can do what he says. Galatians chapter 6. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, there is a blessing in putting your faith and your trust in God. You know, and sometimes it's easy for us to paint this picture of faith being always about divine healing. But it goes much deeper than that. It's there's much more to it than that. That's not the only way that you can show your faith in God. There's things that take place in our lives all the time where we have to make decisions based on our faith in God. And because of those decisions, in choosing God, rather than choosing the world or the things of the world or the lust of the flesh or evil concupiscence or whatever it might be, the desire to for vengeance or to want to pay back tooth for a tooth or eye for an eye, you know, those kind of things, to be able to resist those things and say, no, I'm going to follow the path that the Lord has set out for me. I'm going to do what it is that He's asked of me to do. Every one of those things glorifies God and shows your faith in Him and your willingness to obey Him or to follow the path that He has set before you. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary when we face those things and it's difficult and it's hard to say, I'm going to follow the Lord or I'm going to do what God would have me to do. But rejoice in those times because it's an opportunity for you to glorify God, to put your faith and your hope in Him, and He will reward you for that. Not just heaven for eternity, but He's going to reward you even now. Where it's almost like you feel Him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he draws up a little closer to you and you have a little more intimacy with Him and your relationship with Him. The Lord is very pleased when we are able to put our faith and our trust in Him because it says something about our relationship with Him. Have a relationship with somebody and you guys get close enough where you're able to share the intimate details of your life with one another, it creates a bond. That trust, that mutual trust and that faith that you have in one another to be able to do that and to put yourself out there, to have that vulnerability and so forth. To do that with God and to be able to be vulnerable before Him and say, Lord, this is who I am and this is what I'm feeling and this is what I'm seeing and this is what I'm facing and I need You to help me because I know this is what You would have me to do and I'm going to have faith and trust in You and I'm going to do what You would have me to do. And that creates a bond.
Yes, it does.
James 5. And 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so we have the prophets, and he mentions Job specifically. I mean, think of all of what Job went through. And it says that we think of them and count them happy, which endured. I don't know. Job, you read it, and he didn't seem happy through it all. But I do believe that he reached a place where there was great joy in trusting the Lord and staying with his faith in God, even when everyone else was telling him, just reject God, just leave Him alone, just curse Him and die. He's your enemy. He's allowing all this evil to happen to you. And Job refused to do that. because of his faith in God and what he knew about God. And it's, that is so important for us to know the Lord, to know him. Not just to have an idea or a thought about him, of who he is, but to really know him and to know that he is all these things that we're saying that he is. Faithful and true, honest and merciful and kind. We have to know that he's those things for us to really be able to put our faith and our trust in him. 1 Peter 1 and 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So you all are in heaviness. Maybe it's a heavy load that you're going through. I'm reminded of Paul where he said that they were almost to the point of despair in the sufferings that they endured and the things that they faced. And he says, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, once again, it's a trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. May the Lord help us to know that the trying of our faith is precious. Invaluable to our relationship with him and to what we will face going forward. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so that's what we have awaiting for us. We have a hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not a wish. But it's a fact. God is going to do what he said he would do. He raised his son and he'll raise you too. Put your faith in God. And allow him to work in your life, and you're going to find your place with him in eternity. My son was reminding me this afternoon of the thief on the cross who said, "Remember me, Lord." He said, I believe he said something of the fact that this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's a wonderful thing. And he did not have that coming. But by the grace of God, he received it. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And so, I don't know. I just encourage you all to have faith in God. The Lord has really been talking to me a lot about faith and trust and the depth of it. And I'm sure that it's much deeper than I've been able to relate to you all this evening. But it is precious. More precious than gold. And I pray the Lord would help me to have faith, and I pray that you would all have faith as well.